The U.S. Border Patrol falls under the auspices of Customs and Border Protection, which lists as its mission statement, protect the American people, safeguard our borders, and enhance the nation's economic prosperity. But there are increasing concerns that the Border Patrol has reached too far into the nation's interior, including a 2020 incident in Oregon related to a Black Lives Matter protest. Rhys Jones of the University of Hawaii has researched the Border Patrol extensively and chronicles how it has changed, thanks in part to a number of Supreme Court rulings. His book is Nobody is Protected, How the Border Patrol Became the Most Dangerous Police Force in the United States. And he's with me. Rhys, how powerful is the Border Patrol and how little does the general public know about that power?
Yeah, the Border Patrol has a lot more power than a lot of people realize, and that power extends deeper into the United States than most people would guess. The Border Patrol has the authority to operate in a border zone that's defined as within 100 miles of borders and coastlines, which creates a vast area where about two-thirds of the U.S. population lives. A number of states, like my home state of Hawaii, but also states like Michigan, New Jersey, Florida, are completely in the border zone, as are many of the largest cities in the United States, whether Los Angeles, San Francisco, New York, Washington, Boston, Chicago. Interestingly, although people think of Phoenix as close to the border, it's not actually in that border zone. So it's not part of this area. But in that zone, the Border Patrol has special rules that allow them to do stops without warrants on a much lower standard than regular police. They just need to be able to articulate two facts about why they stopped the vehicle. And those facts can be about the race of the driver. They can also be about general characteristics of the area, that they know that smuggling has happened in that area before, not based on the individual vehicle. They can also set up checkpoints in this area. In Arizona, you have a number of these checkpoints where they stop every single vehicle and ask questions about immigration status. And a recent Supreme Court decision in Egbert versus Boulay said that the agents can't be sued for violations of the Constitution, even against American citizens, if those violations happen in the course of their normal duties.
So just how responsible is the Supreme Court for generally expanding the power, the scope of what the Border Patrol can do, and over how many decades are we talking?
The key Supreme Court cases were in the 1970s, but if we back up a little bit, the Border Patrol was created in the 1920s. But for about 50 years, it was a really small agency, and their regulations, which said they could stop and search vehicles without a warrant, didn't get a review in the Supreme Court, even though they seem to be a violation of the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution, which protects citizens and immigrants alike from unreasonable searches and seizures. So it wasn't until the 1970s that these cases finally reached the court. And the court, so they did rein in the Border Patrol a little bit. They said that the Border Patrol cannot search any vehicle in the border zone, but they did allow the Border Patrol this expansive stop authority and the use of these checkpoints, which creates what at the time, William Brennan, one of the Supreme Court justices, called an evisceration of the Fourth Amendment. So the Supreme Court has, for the most part, decided not to enforce constitutional regulations in this border zone, but instead continuously defers to Congress to say that Congress makes the laws about how these organizations can operate. And so it's up to Congress to change them if they want to.
What role did the Border Patrol play in Portland in 2020 when there were protesters and there was some tension with BLM, Black Lives Matter?
Over the years, we've seen the Border Patrol continuing to expand their operations into things that they weren't previously doing. In the 1970s, when a lot of these rules were adjudicated by the Supreme Court, the Border Patrol was really just focused on immigration, and there were only about 1,500 Border Patrol agents at the time. In the years since then, they've added drug enforcement. After September 11, terrorism became part of their remit. And then in the summer of 2020, we saw the Border Patrol redeployed across the United States outside of that 100-mile zone as part of a force to protect federal buildings. There's a regulation from the War on Terror era that allows the Secretary of the Homeland Security to do that. And so in Portland, there were these instances of vans pulling up in the middle of the night beside people walking on the street. These armed agents without any identification on jump out, grab the people off the street, throw them into the vans and speed off with them, which just seems crazy. It seems like something that shouldn't happen in the United States, but nevertheless it did. And it was the Border Patrol that was doing that. So what I argue in the book is that the Border Patrol is dangerous because they have these special rules that allow them to make stops without warrants. And they're increasingly using that for a lot of things outside of the immigration purpose that it was originally meant for.
Are there other examples in which American citizens are in fact having their rights potentially abused by the Border Patrol?
Probably the clearest example of that are the checkpoints that the Border Patrol operates. The Border Patrol is allowed to set up checkpoints. So first of all, to be clear, we're not talking about ports of entry. We're talking about the interior checkpoints that the Border Patrol operates 25 to 50 miles away from the border. At these checkpoints, they can stop every single vehicle and ask questions about immigration status. They also use dogs to walk around the vehicles to sniff for drugs. They have automated license plate readers at many of the checkpoints that take the license plate and store it in a DEA database for 15 years. They also use radiation sensors to look for dirty bombs at these checkpoints. Your former governor, Raul Castro, was stopped when he was 96 years old. He'd recently had a cancer treatment, and it set off a radiation sensor at a checkpoint on I-19 between Tucson and Nogales. And he was forced to stand outside for 30 minutes in the sun while they did a check of his vehicle. What the data shows is that at these interior checkpoints, the Border Patrol is not finding many immigrants. Instead, they're typically finding American citizens and citing them for violations of other laws. 91% of the people who are cited for drug possession at interior checkpoints are American citizens.
Is the Border Patrol name now sort of an oxymoron based on what you said about how much they do in the interior of the U.S.?
Yeah, I think you could say that. I mean, the Border Patrol increasingly envisions itself as something like a national police force, and they're engaging in a lot of activities that no longer have a lot to do with patrolling the actual borderline, which is what their original congressional authorization meant them to do. And so we see that in a lot of things. For example, in the school shooting in Uvalde, who was it that ends up neutralizing the shooter? Mm-hmm. It's a Border Patrol force, right? So they're engaging in a lot of other policing that is outside of that traditional immigration purpose. And I think the danger is that that's only going to expand in the future. If we see how much the Border Patrol has grown in the last 50 years, from 1,500 agents to almost 20,000, what will this look like 25 or 30 years from now? It's concerning. And I think that authority should be reined in and the Border Patrol should be moved back to its original purpose before a future authoritarian government perhaps comes in and uses it for many more expansive purposes.
That is Professor Rees Jones, author of the new book, Nobody is Protected, How the Border Patrol Became the Most Dangerous Police Force in the United States. Rees, thank you.
Thanks for having me.